Chart Large time is 24 minutes after the hour. We're pleased to be in studio with Chris Martin. He is a senior biologist with New Hampshire Audubon, and he is their expert on raptors. Not to be confused with rafters, for those of you who are roofers. And this segment is brought to us by Stonyfield. Yes, Stonyfield. You know those guys, right? They are obsessively organic and purely delicious. And when you go to their website, stonyfield.com, and you click on the see why they're obsessively organic and they're purely delicious, you get this giant blueberry. And for those of you who are VeggieTale fans, this one's even bigger than Madam Blueberry. And it's got all kinds of information. It has a name. It has a place of origin. It has dimensions, its width and its height. Destination, of course, is Stonyfield Organic Non-Fat Greek Yogurt. Disposition, wild, never sprayed except with northern Quebec rain. Mm-hmm. And it has a number. It's number 38,483,736. That's a lot of blueberries. But, of course, Stonyfield, known for its yogurt, known for its organicness. Can I say organicness? Known for its sustainable business practices and all that fun stuff. I will tell you this as a dad and the guy who does the grocery shopping. It wasn't until they became a sponsor that I started to buy their stuff because, I'll be honest, they're a little pricey. But once you taste the difference and once you see, you understand what you're putting in your kids versus what you could be putting in your kids, then the little extra you pay doesn't amount to all that much. So as we say here often on Gerard at Large, do it for the children. Okay, you can do it for yourself too. Stonyfield.com for more. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you doing, Rich?
Fine, thank you. Welcome to Gerard at Large. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
So you're the raptor guy. You're the also known as the cool bird guy.
Birds of prey.
Birds of prey.
Yeah, raptors. Not everybody thinks of raptors as dinosaurs in Jurassic Park, but these are real-life birds that attack other animals. They're predatory birds.
Not to be confused with the Klingon warship.
No, sir.
All right. So now I'm familiar with the peregrine falcon and the bald eagle, obviously.
Right. Both of which we have nesting in the Manchester area.
Yes. I remember when bald eagles held up a multi-million dollar road project known as the Airport Access Road once. I can't. Oh, my head. Anyway. But I'm not familiar with an osprey.
Well, that's a fish-eating bird of prey, similar to an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a little smaller than eagles. And they have a habit now of nesting on cell towers.
Cell towers?
Which is not their native habitat.
No, but apparently they've adapted.
Yes.
Okay, so now you folks have got this webcam. Talk to us about the webcam.
Well, the webcam.
Unless you want to talk to us about the raptors and the birds.
The webcam is just one piece of it, Rich. Years ago, about 20 years ago, we actually installed a nesting box for peregrine falcons on the Brady Sullivan Tower, which is up by the Amiskeag Bridge on North Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
And for 14 years now, we've had a pair of peregrine falcons nesting in there.
Okay.
About 2 years after that, the folks at Spectra Access Wireless, which is a service provider in the Merrimack Valley, helped us put this webcam into the nest box. So we're actually inside the box with the peregrines when they lay their eggs and raise their young.
Okay. So the nest is wired.
Yeah.
And so we're peeping in on...
Modern age.
We're peeping in on the birds.
And peeping in on the downtown Manchester in the sense that one of these cameras looks right out over the downtown. You can every now and then you can even see the jets coming into land at the airport.
Really?
It's great.
So what else do you see?
Not that much. Most of the stuff.
Shootings, robberies, mugging.
It's mostly just actually the fireworks after the Fisher Cats games.
Okay. Does that spook the birds?
Doesn't bother them at all. I think they like it.
Okay. All right. So you said that there was drama captured on the webcam.
Oh, no doubt.
I've been watching it all morning. It's really
kind of neat. Well, this year was really different because for 13 years in a row, the same male falcon has been nesting there along with two different females over the years.
Oh, wait a minute. So this
The first one till 2006, the second one since 2006.
Oh, so the first one kind of, you know.
She kicked the bucket.
All right.
Well, and that's what this story's about. Because this year they laid eggs, and the male, we saw him on camera leave the nest after his turn on the eggs. 3 hours later, our local wildlife rehabilitator had got a call about an injured peregrine falcon in south side of Manchester. And turns out it was this bird. We could tell because he had a leg band and we could ID him. So as a 14-year-old bird, he'd had an injury, broke his wing. And meanwhile, mom's back there at the nest with multiple eggs and nobody to bring her groceries.
Oh, no.
And that's a problem. And so she couldn't.
So she can't leave the nest and go get groceries?
Well, she can't keep the eggs warm and go get food.
Oh, so they have to keep the eggs warm until they hatch?
For 5 weeks.
Really? Okay, so always someone's got to be sitting on the eggs.
And this nest attempt had just started. So what happened is after about 2 days, she gave up on these eggs. And she went out to get food. And within 72 hours of this male being injured, there was a new male.
No way!
Yeah, way. And it was a one-year-old male. We could tell that by the feather pattern on the bird. So this a brand new male, never been in a breeding situation before, and he didn't know what to do. He actually, she laid more eggs, thanks to him. And you didn't know this was going to be such a racy show, did you?
So I was going to say, his mama bird didn't make any time, didn't waste any time making time.
In 3 weeks, she laid another batch of eggs, five this time, and she started to incubate them. And when his turn came around, he was so inexperienced at this, he just stood there and looked at the eggs and didn't keep them warm. Until about the fifth egg came out. At that point, he finally figured out what he was supposed to do and started incubating the eggs.
Now, the eggs don't all come out at the same time?
No, it takes 2 days between each egg as they're laid. Oh. So these five eggs took a period of about 10 days to be
so to, what happened? What happened to the first set of eggs?
Well, we removed those as managers working for the Fish and Game Department. We removed those eggs once she abandoned them. Right. There's no hope for them.
Tell us the truth. Did you turn them into breakfast?
No. They are frozen and later will be analyzed for chemicals and shell thickness, which was the original problem with this species when it became endangered.
So after egg number five shows up, he gets a clue.
He finally figures out what he's supposed to do. He gets a clue. He starts to incubate them. So they go through five more weeks of incubation with this new set of eggs. And in late May, one of those eggs hatched.
Only one?
Yeah, probably the last one.
Because
the one
they didn't keep it incubated.
Because there
the
was
whole
a problem
time.
With the incubation at the beginning. Oh. Anyway, so now that chick is 4 weeks old. It's going to be flying in a couple weeks. And a story which was tragic has now turned into a marginally successful story.
So what happened to the wounded bird?
Well, the wounded bird is in bad shape. We actually tried to have a veterinarian, Dr. Dutton from Ware Animal Hospital, do a surgery and pin the wings, but it's unsuccessful surgery. So
unsuccessful. Yeah. Well, so, I'm looking at this chick. It's like a great big cotton ball with legs.
Yeah, and the dark feathers are growing in. In 2 weeks, it won't look like that at all.
It'll I thought feathered. It just looked dirty. So those are actually feathers coming in.
Yeah, those are the flight feathers, and that bird will be an all gray and brown bird in about 2 weeks. And start flying, and you'll see it on downtown Elm Street.
It's got quite a set of talons. Oh,
yes. Yeah.
Mama, is that Mama that just came back?
Might well be.
I know. It's kind of like there's no real color to it.
That's what the sunlight does to the camera. But it's just fascinating to be able to see
this
stuff.
It's all gray on the top. Because, you know, in some bird species, the male are the colorful ones, the female are the drab ones.
These two look very similar, males and female peregrines.
Okay.
Males are smaller than females by a good deal, and so if you see them together, you can tell the difference.
Gotcha. Well, whatever it was, it just took off.
But it's fascinating to watch this and to realize that this is going to be the 14th straight year that peregrines nesting in Manchester have produced young. So
does that mean that they're making a comeback per se? Are they on the endangered list or what's their?
They're on our state's threatened list now, and they've been removed from the federal endangered species list completely. Uh-huh.
So, what, New Hampshire has a more stringent definition, or
no? We're just not comfortable yet in the state that that our 20 to 25 pairs represent a recovered population.
20 to 25 pairs. Well, that's
best
not a
we
lot.
Can determine. Yeah.
That's not a lot.
It's not a lot.
What's their typical habitat area?
Typically, you'll find them in our scenic places like Franconia Notch, Crawford Notch, Cathedral Ledge. In fact, the old male that was injured, was originally raised at Cathedral Ledge by a pair of peregrines, and I put his ID band on him myself.
Oh, wow.
When he was a chick.
So how long do they live, assuming they don't get injured or anything like this?
Well,
what's their...
injury is usually the cause of death for these adults.
Oh,
and,
really?
And 14 to 18 years is probably a max for most of them.
Okay.
So this male that we lost is had a full life. He raised 38 chicks in those 13 successful breeding seasons. So that's
wow.
He contributed a great deal to our New England population.
He sounds like Senator Strom Thurmond. did I say that in my out loud voice? Anyway, so how do you capture the birds to like put their ID bracelets on? And are they kind of like homing bracelets? You can follow them around. You
no,
know,
these,
get a little
these
radar.
Aren't. These are metal bands with ID numbers on them. So when we find the bird injured, or we see it through a telescope, or on a good high-definition webcam, you could read it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I just have to give a shout-out to the folks at Spectra Access who've stuck with us for about 14 years and provided this camera service, which allows people all over the world through the Internet to see what's going on in downtown Manchester.
Now, this looks like it's in some kind of a box, this nest.
It is. It's
okay.
It's a wooden box that's on the upper floor of the Brady Sullivan Tower.
But not the roof.
Not the roof. It's accessible to biologists and folks at the building from the inside. But it's not an office floor. It's a utility floor.
Utility.
So it's only really accessible to the public through the camera.
Now, do you have other sort of nesting sites like this that you monitor and maintain, even without a video camera?
This is the only New Hampshire nesting box for peregrine falcons. There are about 22 cliff and bill and bridge nest sites across the state,
mm-hmm.
ranging from Dixville Notch all the way down to the I-95 bridge in Portsmouth, and all the way over to the Vermont Yankee nuclear plant in Hinsdale.
Now, I guess what I'd have to ask you, since you're trying to bring back this population, is why do you hate the prey that they kill and eat?
Why do we hate them?
Sorry, I'm practicing my sort of progressive rhetorical tricks on you. Because
Rich, their main prey item is pigeons.
Pigeons?
Yeah. And they also like starlings. Which?
Well, why do you hate pigeons?
Pigeons are wonderful. And if you ask any peregrine falcon, they'll tell you the same thing.
I like your sense of humor, Chris. You're playing with me here. That's good. That's good. Chris, you know, if you're saving the predator, that means you're condemning the prey.
No, you're not, because the prey species actually are mostly animals that reproduce rapidly.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So they're...
So no damage, no threat to their
overall survival. They're reproducing young to replace themselves.
Yeah. Now, what is the typical... now, this hen just laid 5 eggs. I don't know if you call them a hen.
That's
but
good.
It laid 5 eggs.
No, she laid 9 eggs this year. She laid 4 the first time around.
Oh, that's right. She
and
got
then
busy.
She laid 5 more.
And then she got busy again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How often do they get busy and lay their eggs? Is it an annual thing? Is it as the spirit moves the thing? Or how does this work?
Peregrines breed every year, starting when they're 1 year old. That this new male is 1 year old. And usually one time a season. We have very few records of re-nesting, you know, second time around. We call it recycling. That's a interesting word for it. They recycle and start the process over again. And we have very few cases in New Hampshire in 30 years of monitoring where we've had successful re-nestings, and this is one of them.
Really? David's got a comment. Go.
Good morning, Chris.
Hello, how are you?
So what you're saying is peregrine falcons and our humble hosts have a lot in common on mating habits.
Yes. Do I? Is that what I mean?
I have 5 children.
Congratulations, Rich.
Thank you. I'm not sure that I've done any recycling or re-nesting, but by re-nesting, you mean the same pair mates again?
Oh, they typically stay in the area year-round, especially these city birds, and they're going to mate with each other for years in a row unless one of them has an accident or gets out-competed for its territory.
Right. So I would assume, though, that there are plenty of pigeons in the city and therefore plenty of prey, and that...
But they're highly territorial. They don't like other peregrines in their turf. So those pigeons belong to these two birds.
I see. So the whole city is under the domain of these two birds.
Yes. In fact, that's pretty much the case.
What kind of territory do these birds carve out for themselves?
Well,
that's pretty big.
The injured male that was found in late March was down on South Willow Street, about 3 miles from the nest box. So I would say you could draw a circle 6 miles across, centered on downtown Manchester. That's all the turf of this pair of peregrines.
All right. Chris Martin, if you people want to learn more about the Audubon and its work with raptors to track them, to rehabilitate them, to rebuild the populations, how do they do that?
They get a hold of us either at our website, www.nhaudubon.org, or they contact me. You can check the website. It has my contact information. Or you can get a hold of the non-game program at Fish and Game, because we do a lot of this work directly on behalf of Fish and Game.
Cool. Well, forget them. Just go to nhaudubon.org.
Org.
That's nhaudubon, AUDUBON.org. Chris Martin, thanks for joining us this morning and sharing with us the fascinating tale of the nesting pair of peregrine falcons here in the Queen City.
Always a pleasure, Rich.
All right, and we have posted the links to our Facebook page, and we'll post them with this archive, so you can check out the webcam. I got to tell you, folks, it's pretty cool.